Northeast to live. I know it can get cold, and I know the weather can be a little challenging at times, but it is a great place to live. Our boundary lines, indeed, have fallen on pleasant places. The question is, what are you doing there? Where you live, your town, your community, what are you doing there? Matthew chapter 9, beginning with me in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You know, as Jesus traveled around his area, he always had two things on his mind. Preach the gospel of the good news. People have got to know who God is. And they've got to know the message of salvation that God has for them. But he also made sure that he, to the best of his ability, met the needs of the people that he came upon. And he came upon a lot of needs. Those that were physically hurting, hungry, distressed, in a bad place. So he preached to them a message of salvation, but he also said, "I see where you're at physically, and I think I can do something about that." The way he viewed people says it all. In verse 36, the Bible says that he had compassion on those that he found. What is compassion? The word literally means, "My heart goes out to you. I feel what you feel. I can empathize with where you're at, whether I've been there or not. Somehow I'm able to feel the pain and the torment and the struggles and the distress that you're feeling right now. My heart goes out to you." When Jesus looked at the crowd, his heart went out to them. He saw clearly that they were harassed. Have you ever been harassed? What does it mean to be harassed? Harassment is an attack of any kind that is repeated, prolonged, or ongoing. Sometimes you feel like it will never end. The violation can be physical. It can be emotional. Whatever gets under your skin and just stays there. And I bet Jesus saw a lot. Man, life can wear on you. It's not always easy. Getting from one day to the next, even getting from the morning to the evening, can be a real challenge. He saw people beat down and burdened in every way, much the way we see people today. Financial stress, work pressure, married, family stress, and issues, career stress, health issues, whether they be emotional, whether they be physical, addictions, abuses, peer pressure, school pressure, things that are well within your control, and those things that are well beyond your control. Everything that we see people dealing with today, Jesus saw them dealing with back then. We have more advanced, high-tech versions of it, but you know what? People are people, problems are problems, issues are issues, stress is stress, strife is strife. The things that he saw back then, people have today. He saw people being bombarded with a salvo of attacks. One after another, after another, after another, and it would just not let up. Harassed, just like people are today. But not only that, he saw that they were helpless in trying to deal with it themselves. That left to themselves, the attacks would just continue. The harassment would never end. People around us are in the same place. They need help. Now, the beauty of being a disciple, besides the fact that you get to go to heaven one day, that's glorious in and of itself. But we don't know when that day will be. We hope it's a long way off. Because between now and that day, we've got work to do. You see, the beauty of being a disciple is that we can follow in the steps of Jesus And as he went around through his communities and he saw them harassed and helpless and had an answer and knew what to do about it, we are in the same way. Those filled with compassion, if we're disciples, but answers. We know how to help. Jesus says in verse 37, the harvest is plentiful. We know that. The people are out there. But the needs are just as much. The harassment is plentiful. But the help can be plentiful. There's a lot that we can do. We need to have boots on the ground. So this is where we come in. Because we're not just those that go to church on Sunday, and then we go through the week and there's really not much thought about who we are as disciples, and then the next Sunday rolls around and we kind of gear up for our disciple time again. That's not biblical discipleship. We need to be those that have boots on the ground every day. That's what Jesus did. That's what he calls us to do. We are the workers in the field. And you know what? It's a big field. This is your field. So if you live in Fairfield County, there's about 917,000 people, nearly a million people in Fairfield County. You probably live in one of these towns. If you're in New Haven County, a little less, not much, about 865,000. None of these figures are anything to sneeze at. It's a huge field. You know, the summer was awesome here in the church. I feel like we had a great time. The feedback I got from everybody was, we had a great time. The men went through the 10 times better. We worked on us being better as husbands and as fathers and as friends. And we took a look at who we are and how God wired us and who God wants us to be and how to overcome some of the things in our childhood or our background that maybe stopped us from being that man. We worked on us a lot. The women, with all of their book clubs, choosing books that specifically deal with some of the issues that women face in life today. And then a chance in a small group to talk about those things. The summer was all about us. The fall needs to be all about them. What can we do to help them? I hope you're in a better place. They're not yet. But they can be. And I'm confident they will be. It's about them. When is the last time that you personally helped somebody to become a Christian? Now, I'm not talking about being dragged in as the eighth person on the study, and you were there like once or twice, but I mean the last time that you said, you know what, I'm investing all of who I am into this person. And you're in there and you're making the calls and you're doing the studies and you're engaged and you're following up. When's the last time? Maybe that number would be filled with more disciples if you were more engaged. The overall goal for this fall is to be a church of impact. Who can we help? How can we help? Where can we help? We've got a plan. It's not a perfect plan. I don't know of any perfect plans because we're imperfect people. So our plans always have some flaws. But I think it's a workable plan. And it's a plan that I hope we can all get behind. And even if it doesn't appease your personal agenda, as a disciple, your first thought and foremost should be, what's best for the church overall? What's going to help us as a group make a great impact? What's going to help us as a family group be able to change our community, our neighborhood, our street? And so even though it may not be exactly what I want, I believe it's what's best for the church. And therefore, that's what I want. We're going to begin with the family groups. Now, we took quite a pause over the summer. We didn't have any family groups. We had a lot of other things going on, and they were awesome. But we're ready to get back on track now. And I believe they're going to be better and stronger and more impactful and more effective than ever before. Greater impact on the community, and we believe a better experience for all the disciples involved. So the first thing you're going to notice when you got your little sheet as you walked in here today, and if you didn't get one, we'll make sure you get one, is that for the most part, the family groups are a little smaller. That was our goal back at the beginning of the summer. When we start up again, we want them smaller. There are a few that are still a bit big. They will split up probably by the end of this year or January. So we got a few more things to work out there. In putting these together, we tried as best as we could to consider the following criteria. Geography. Because it's not really too effective to be in a family group that's a county away from where you live. Who's going to go with you? Nobody except you. And you'll find excuses to not go because it's too far. So we try to consider geography. Let's get disciples in there as best as we can in the greater proximity to where they live. We can't have one in every single town because we don't have disciples yet in every town. But we tried to figure out basically where do people live, geography. We also wanted to consider relationships. I know a lot of you go way back with each other. And you can't always be with your friends because we're all friends. So it creates a lot of problems. What friends are we going to connect? So that's really problematic. Not a good way to do it. But we did want to take into consider the relationships that we have. Let's make that a factor. The number of kids. We have a huge number of kids in this church. The per capita number of children for our church is probably one of the largest I've seen. We have about the same number of kids as the Nashville church, and they're about almost three times our size. When Ron and Brenda Adcock were here about a few weeks ago, they lead that ministry there. They were floored at the amount of kids we have given the size that we are. It is a monumental task trying to wrestle that many kids. We have a plan for that. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But with putting the family groups together, okay, so we can't have a family group with more kids than adults. That's really problematic. We can't do that. So we try to consider the number of kids. And then we also wanted to try to consider the needs of the members. And there were some very specific needs where certain people need to be with certain people. And so that was also a consideration. I think overall what you have in your hands is a very good balance. I think it's a very workable plan. Again, it's probably not perfect. And maybe you would think this one was here and that one was there. Believe me, we wrestled this. I clicked and dragged so many names on my computer for a while. I forgot where I even started. I think it's a good place right now. The second thing that you're going to notice is that there are singles and marrieds together in the family groups. Now, I think that's a really good thing. And I'll tell you why. We're a small church. We need to pull together when and where to be as effective as possible in our communities. In some areas, we just don't have a lot of disciples. We need to have people there. I think it's going to be the most effective way of reaching out to people where we live. And I also think it's going to help build some relationships throughout the church that perhaps have not been there. So what does that mean for the singles? What does that mean for the marrieds? Well, I think it means some very good things. You know, we did try to keep everybody together where they were, where they lived, to make stronger, more effective disciples and ministries. For the singles, we want this to be an awesome, thriving, happy, fun-loving, fun-having group, loaded with lots of great things going on, things that our friends are going to want to come out to, that as you meet people at work or in your community or in your neighborhood or wherever, there's always some awesome, great evangelistic thing right around the corner. We want that to be a real hallmark of the church. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put together a planning team of singles. It won't be all the singles because you can't have a planning team that big. But we're going to work, we're going to pray, we're going to put together a planning team for the singles that can put stuff together and pull stuff off. We'll offer all the help and guidance and direction as a church that we can possibly give you. We're going to have a devotional next Saturday at our house to be able to begin talking about this and kind of talk about the direction that would be really great for the singles to go in. So that will be next Saturday at our house. More details to come. The Marrieds are going to do something very similar. Now, the Wilsons have been working with the Marrieds for some time. We'll continue. But it's a lot for them to just try to think of stuff for us to do. So we're also going to be putting together a planning team for the Marrieds ministry that can think through our needs, just like the singles will be thinking through their needs. There'll be a small group of Marrieds thinking through what are our needs, what can we do, how can we bring new married couples into the church. And so both of these teams, I think, will really help us to get out there more, to have more great stuff going on. So I'm very excited about that. But we've got more, because we've got some great things happening with the teens and the campus. So I'm going to turn it over to Will and Kristen to talk about that for just a moment.
Amen. Well, we're pumped for what's going to be happening this fall. And we're going to start off sharing a little bit about the campus and what God has already done this semester and what we're looking forward to happening this fall. And then we'll share about the teens. But we had our kickoff event for the campus ministry exactly 2 weeks ago, two Fridays ago. And it was incredible. What we did is we just played volleyball on campus at Southern Connecticut State, because they have a beach volleyball court right in the middle of all the dorms. It's incredible. So we go out there around 6:30. We just start playing volleyball. We order pizza around 7, which, if you've ever been on a college campus, is a brilliant thing to do if you want to meet people. So we order pizza. We play volleyball for about 2 hours, and we meet all kinds of people. And then as we started winding down the volleyball, I saw these three guys, right? This group of three guys kind of standing close to where we were. And I go over and I share my faith with them. I invite them to Bible talk, invite them to church. And one of the guys in particular, his name is Mark, he was like, yeah, actually, that sounds great. I'd love to come to church. So I got his phone number and we connected. And then a couple minutes later, I was back over at volleyball. And I look at that same guy, Mark, right? He's with his two friends. He pulls out a deck of cards and just starts doing all these crazy card tricks, like these magic tricks. And it was insane. Before you know it, like 5 people come over, start watching him, 10 people, 20 people. Within about 10 minutes, a group of 50 people is around this guy, Mark, watching him do these card tricks. It was crazy. And then after he kind of stops with the card tricks, his other friend with him, Steve, just starts beatboxing, right? He starts beatboxing, and some of our brothers go out there and just start dancing in the middle of the circle. Jeff goes out there and starts dancing. Dylan got out there. Vanya got out there. Vanya was dancing, okay. Even I went out there and started dancing. And then everybody left. I'm just kidding. That's not what happened. But it was the craziest thing. So this guy, Steve, is beatboxing. There's 50 people circling around. We're out there dancing. Everyone just starts clapping. This girl who does gymnastics came out and started doing backflips in the middle of the circle. It was unbelievable. So we're just out there. There's all these people circled around right on the quad. And Narisha comes up to me while this is going on, and she's like, Will, we have to share our faith with all these people. We got to tell these people. So I went around to the disciples, and I was like, guys, slowly stop clapping, all right? Slowly kind of let it die down. So we stopped clapping, we let it die down, and I went out into the middle of the circle, and I invited everybody there to church and to Bible talk. And after I invited everybody, all the disciples, we just scatter. We start talking to everybody, getting people's phone numbers, inviting them out. And since that time, both those guys, Mark and Steve, came to church that Sunday. This was 2 Sundays ago. Steve is now studying the Bible. He's the beatboxer. It's amazing. And so many of those people who were there in that crowd have come to church, come to Bible talk, and are now studying the Bible. And a quick scripture, because it's just crazy. It reminds me of this scripture from the book of Acts. And it's Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 9. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all of the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the great power." They followed him because he amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So Kristen's going to share a little bit about what's going on with the women right now, but this is totally our vision, that God used this guy to bring this crowd, and because we were able to reach all these people, they will be baptized and become our brothers and sisters. Kristen's going to share about the women.
So I thought about going out there and doing the Dougie when we were in that circle, and then I realized, I don't know how to Dougie. So I started saying, teach me how to Dougie, teach me how to Dougie. And no one taught me. So I was going to go out and dance, but it just didn't happen. So with the women, something I'm really excited about is for the month of September, the women in the campus ministry are doing a four-week women's Bible study series. So basically we're doing a Bible talk on campus every Thursday night in September, and we're taking the first two studies and splitting it up into four Bible talks. And we've had our first two so far. It's been great. Last week was the first one, and there were three women there who were visitors and wanted to know more about God. And we talked about Jesus, and it was very cool to hear people open up about their lives, what they wanted to get out of the time, and what they learned about Jesus that they didn't really realize before, how they can be more like him. And then last night, so you guys remember yesterday there was a huge thunderstorm, right? So it was like pouring. I know tons of my friends got caught in the rain. And we were having this Bible study from 9 to 10 at night during this thunderstorm. The power went out in the student center where we were going to have it. So Jaleesa and I scrambled, found a place on campus to have it. We're texting and calling people. And five women came out in the rain, walking from their dorms to come hear about God. And it was so encouraging. So we talked about the Word of God, and guys, people were open about their life and open about the past and their sin and what they're struggling with and what they hope to get and be changed by in the Word. And it was so cool to see people's eyes light up and see them understand the scriptures and want to know more. So that's what we're doing with the women for this month in September, and I'm excited to see what the fruit of that's going to be.
And one quick exciting thing, October 6th, Sunday, October 6th, is going to be our campus-led service here at the church, which is going to be incredible. And then later in October, we have our campus retreat, which is for all of New England and New York, happening in Stamford, right down the road. So I'm excited about what God's going to do for the campus. And then with the teen ministry, come on. I am thrilled to announce that we're going to be getting some help from none other than Ralph and Deanna Rita. They're going to be coming in. Starting this fall, they're going to be coming and assisting Kristen and I with the teen ministry, working with us, and that's going to be an amazing thing, just their zeal and their wisdom coming in to help with the teen ministry. And Kristen's going to share about an exciting plan with the teens for this fall.
So I am thrilled to announce that we're going to be having teen midweeks this fall. I hope you guys are thrilled, because I am. So every women's midweek, there's also going to be a teen midweek going on at the same time. And I think it's going to be a great time to teach and learn more about God, to have spirituality in the middle of the week on Wednesday. I love that midweek. And just be together and build more memories, more friendships. So that's something I'm really excited about to start doing.
So be praying for the campus and teens. We're excited to see the fruit that God is going to bring this fall.
Right, good stuff. So the next change that we're going to be making is a very exciting one. Walk around our fellowship any given Sunday after church, and what do you see? Kids everywhere. Loads of them. From cradle to teens. We need to do the best job that we can to raise them and bring them up and take care of them. And I'm really grateful to the Lemoores leading the children's ministry. And that's great. Will and Kristen, obviously, with the teens. But that's not enough. So this fall, beginning basically now, we are putting together a youth and family ministry team. So these guys, their responsibility will be to work with the parents, to work with the staff, to help develop and to be able to give our kids the best opportunity possible. And I'm going to turn this over to Stan and Gisella because they will be leading the youth and family ministry team.
Good evening, church. I want to share a scripture. In preparing just to talk to you guys tonight, I went through a lot of self-reflection, and this scripture came to my heart. Psalms 40, starting verse 5. It says, "Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. No one can compare with you. Where I speak and tell of your deeds, will I speak and tell of your deeds, they would be so, too many to declare." And when I look at this scripture, you know, I look at the church and, you know, I'm just in love with the church. You know, I came to the church in 1995. I was 16 years old, had no clue what I wanted to do with my life. And there were men and women in the church that loved me. There were men and women who weren't afraid of my 24-inch afro. You know? Yeah, I had hair back then. Woo! There were men and women who decided to spend time with me to teach me about God's Word. And looking back, you know, without that, without these men and women, I don't know where I would be right now. You know, I started in the teen ministry when Ralph and Deanna were single. And they were leading the teens back then. you know, and I just remember Ralph just coming in my face and like, "Hey man, how you doing?" And just really loving me and wanting to, you know, be a part of my life. I think about, you know, when I went to college, you know, there are brothers and sisters who, you know, were able to give me great advice throughout my college years. And there were men and women who, you know, when I planted my eyes on this beautiful woman here, gave me a lot of advice about how to pursue her, you know, and that's why I love the church. You know, I look at, you know, there's so many things that I can't speak about that God has blessed me with because of the fellowship and because of the church. And I say all this is because, you know, looking at the family youth ministry, you know, I didn't start off in the children's ministry, but I did start off in the teens, and this is, you know, what we need to be for our children, for our preteens, for our teens, and for a campus, and you know, that support to really love each other and to show each other the way. My wife wants to share a couple things, and then I'll come back and I'll share a little more.
Hi. I just wanted to say, just I'm really on a personal, I'm very excited. I have to say, when I heard the news, I was really scared, and just like I was when they asked me to take the children's ministry, but I've learned so much, and it really would not have been possible with the wisdom and experience of you guys and even the team that we built over the past few years. So, and like Jeff said, the purpose of this team is really to bring connection and cohesiveness from the children's ministry to the preteens to the teens. And I just think that's a great idea because that way we can just help have that easier transition from when they're infants all the way to when they're teens. And I know it'll be helpful for the parents as well, and they will play a very important role in this, and we need their wisdom. So Stan will talk now and introduce the people that are in the team that I'm really excited and honored to work with.
Well, for the last couple of years, we've had the honor of working in the children's ministry and really leading the children's ministry. And we haven't been able to do it on our own. You know, there have been many people who've helped us. We thank all the teachers, you guys who've supported the children's ministry. We know that we've knocked on, you know, tapped shoulders and just, you know, pleaded for, you know, service. And you guys stepped up to the plate, and the children, you know, have really grown because of that. You know, we want to thank Jason and Aaron, who've been working with us, you know, for the last couple of years. We also want to thank Surya, who's been working in the children's ministry. So we're now going to be passing the reins fully to Jason, Aaron, Surya, and we're also bringing on Liz Burns into the children's ministry. With the preteens, many of you guys know the Youngs, Manny and Karen Young. They're right now working with the kids downstairs, serving with the Friday devotional for the kids. But they're going to be heading up the teen ministry, the preteen ministry. So we want to thank them for that. And like Will said, you know, they're working with the teens, but we also have Ralph and Deanna, who are veterans in working with the teens. So they have a lot of experience. And we're excited just to be, you know, being able to get together with them, get together with the families, and really meeting the needs of the youth and the youth ministry and the family ministry. So we thank you for that, and we'll definitely be tapping shoulders for more support and getting advice. So please feel free to see us, and we hope we have a great youth and family ministry. Thank you.
All right, good stuff. We're almost there. We're almost there. Hang on, guys. So, you know, what we're talking about with Jesus, when he was going around through all the towns and villages, he preached the gospel, we know that, but he also met needs, and he was very aware of what was going on around him. Our goal, one of our goals, is to have a much greater impact in the community to be able to meet those needs, and there's no shortage of them throughout our entire ministry area. So we want to be able to be more effective both in the church, because we've got a lot of needs here, that we may not be doing the best job of meeting, some we may not even be aware of. And so we need to open up our eyes to our own family, but also to what's out there in the world. And so we want to put together, and we're in the process of putting together, a team that will be the Faith in Action team. And that's going to encompass missions, and it's going to encompass benevolence, and it's going to encompass meeting needs around the community. And so heading up that team, which is still in formation, will be John and Cheryl Roundtree.
All right, so I have a scripture. Please turn to James 2. James 2, it says in verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by an action, is dead. Someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." And so that scripture really inspires us to take this on. We are going to be leading Faith in Action ministry in our church. And it's going to be a ministry that I want everyone to be involved with. I think everyone in the church, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, has a responsibility to put their faith into action. And our plan is going to be to organize a group, a committee, I suppose, that will oversee the efforts that we're going to be making in that area to meet the physical needs of those around us. We're also going to continue with missions with IMS, International Mission Society. That'll be ongoing, but we're going to be taking on local needs in our community and what we can do to really move that forward and really be strong in that area. I think it'll be an area that will really grow our church. As the community around us sees us out there helping people, it will attract people to us. So one idea we've just started thinking about this, but one idea would be to get all the family groups involved so that there would be maybe one or two people in each family group that would spearhead a project, and that, you know, we would get behind them, we would support them. We're also going to look into getting more involved with HOPE, As many of you know, HOPE International, HOPE stands for Helping Other People Everywhere. It was formed in 1991 as a nonprofit organization separate from our church. I'm going to quickly read their mission statement. HOPE Worldwide was founded in response to the scriptures, which call us to have the heart of Jesus by serving the poor and needy throughout the world. We began in 1991 with three small local programs. Today, HOPE Worldwide operates on every inhabited continent, serving more than 2 million people annually. And I'm really excited about that. I'm actually going to go to Boston in a few weeks to a Devo, HOPE Devo. I really want to get more involved and know more about what they're doing and how we can get involved. A lot of churches have a HOPE chapter. I'd love to see us have a HOPE chapter here and really get involved with that ministry. So I want to encourage everyone, please be praying for this ministry. Please see me if you have an idea or something you want to do. Come talk to me, and we'll help to make it happen. And now I'd like to introduce my lovely wife.
So, sisters, I happen to be married to a man who just has a natural heart to love others, to serve others. He does this in the privacy of our home, in the privacy of our own community, as a disciple, just behind the scenes. And now being, you know, asked and offered the opportunity, you know, to spearhead and lead a ministry for putting our faith into action, to serve, you know, needy, to serve our missions, our churches elsewhere, you know, to partner up with HOPE. I commit to you that I will grow in my prayers and scriptures to gain similar convictions. I will help him in his endeavors, and I look forward to how God, you know, will use us as a church to really express our faith, which we are, sisters. We have great faith in this church. That is our strength. Our riches is in our faith. And I'm excited to see how God will use that so that we can fulfill his commands, of which many were strong. And in this area, fulfilling the commands where he really does ask us to care about our other churches, you know, in Europe and New England, to care about those amongst us who are in need, and to partner with HOPE for, you know, other communities. Regarding missions, I'm gonna just lay it out here, sisters. Jeff already mentioned it, but it's not this Sunday, it's the following Sunday. Your clipboards, make them a walking movement. Be gathering them with you. Use scriptures if you need to gather God's word to know why we're doing this. He commands us to care about the other churches, the disciples elsewhere that don't have the riches of community we have, of leadership that we have. So please do not be diligent in this. Do not wait till the last moments. Be sharing your faith as you go. It's one of the beauties for me. It takes me such prayer to get out the door to go ask for money. It's the last thing in the world that I like doing. And I only do it on the spirit of God's will and loving God. But as I'm doing it, I'm sharing about our family group, because I want to see who in my neighborhood might be interested now in this season to come on Wednesday evenings. So it's always twofold, as Jeff was saying. Just like Paul's missionary work was twofold, our mission work can be the same. So hold that for a week and a half. Go out with it. If you need any encouragement or inspiration in that way, then see me.
Amen.
All right, that's exciting. One last thing, and then we'll be done. This fall, we're going to launch into a new teaching series, and we're getting it ready right now to unveil at the first midweek. But we're going to take a look at the growth, the start, and the growth of the early church, who they were, what they did, what they believed, and why they were so effective. And if this is our time, then let's go back and take a look at a time in the church when it was awesome, and maybe we can learn a lot from them. I'm sure we can. So we're going to be using the book of Acts as our primary source. It's going to be thematic. We're not going to go, you know, 28 chapters in a row, but we're going to pick out specific themes from the book of Acts, and then we're going to use the other letters, the epistles, as supporting documents to round out the picture. But we're going to try to get, as best as we can, this image in our mind of what was it like being in the church in the first century, and what can we do today to be more like that church? So that begins the 17th and the 18th. So make sure you're prepared for that. Write that down. It's on the calendar. Go on the website. look at the calendar, sync it up with your phone, whatever you got to do, don't forget. And then the new family groups begin the week after that. And then what we typically do, we're going to continue alternating 1 week, midweek, the next week family group, and so on and so forth. So we need everybody to pray. Keep your ears open. Keep your eyes open. Keep your heart open to where God is leading us. Remember, it's not about the individual agenda, but it's about the body. What can we do collectively as a church to have the greatest impact on a lost world, both spiritual needs and physical needs? Let's put our best foot forward, and let's have the best fall we've ever had as a church. Amen. God will be glorified, and the church will be radiant. We're going to go ahead and close out with a prayer, and then I'll ask Fred if we'll do one more song, and then we will be dismissed after that. Father,